Thank you for joining us for episode 53 of Head Start, a weekly podcast to help Liberty's adult and student ministry life group leaders prepare for the upcoming lesson. So today we have a special guest. It's a room that normally has four people in it. Today there's two. Two really cool kids.
I don't know if I'd say that. Well, maybe just one.
I'm comfortable with it. William is with us. William, we started, we met some years ago. It's been years, right?
Yeah. Fall of 21.
A couple, two or three years ago at a coffee shop. And from that, there was an internship in student ministry. And William is a student at Beeson. And just wrapped up a second internship that's sort of a requirement of Beeson.
Yes, sir. So we one of the requirements of the seminary is that we have to do an internship at our local church with one of the pastors of that we kind of envision our ministry. And so for better or worse, I chose and asked Kyle if he would lead that. And so just wrapped that up, and we had a lot of fun and learned a lot.
Really good. Good. Well, so give us, because our student ministry life group leaders probably know who William is and have been around you a little bit. Many, or if not most, of our adult life group leaders probably have no idea who William is. William has a double last name.
I do.
Mm-hmm. And it is?
William Alward Jordan.
There it is right there. So give us a little background on who you are, where you came from. I can say this. The CHOP has double meaning for William. He is a graduate from FSU. Hey, 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 hey. And he's
Atlanta Braves fan.
Braves fan extraordinaire.
Yes, so, sir.
Give us a little background on you, and then also talk about just briefly about the mission experience that you just returned from.
Absolutely, yeah. So I was born and raised in St. Simons Island, Georgia, grew up with wonderful Christian parents. The double last name comes from my father passed away when I was a teenager, and my mom married another man named Donnie Jordan, who from honestly few months into their dating, he took me in as his own. And so I was very happy when I became an adult to ask him to adopt me and take his last name as well. Went to Florida State University. Very proud of that, despite all the challenges that have been come because of it, living in Alabama. But that's all right. Y'all are very not kind about it. But we
try to be consistent.
And we so graduated from Florida State and took a gap year to finish up in a youth ministry I was serving at in Tallahassee. Then COVID hit, of course, and so that kind of made seminary plans a little complicated. But found Beeson Divinity School here in Birmingham. If you don't aren't familiar with Beeson, that is where Pastors Brian and Kyle went. So that might be a positive view of my education or negative, depending. But so went to Beeson and finished up my final internship here with Kyle. And then we also have a requirement to do a two-week mission trip where I spent the month of May in London and got to serve with a church planner there in London who just took me and three other guys from the school under our wing. And we did so much street evangelism, so much mercy ministry. London is an incredible place, and we had a lot of fun just learning what does it look like to minister in a place so different than here, but also the same in many ways. Very, very similar struggles of idolatry and darkness, and the struggles of pursuing the Lord when we already have a lot of stuff. And the need for God is not a physical need. It is such a spiritual need. And so it was a wonderful trip, and I'm happy to be back.
That's super cool that you're able to get that experience, and one that most of us will likely never have, but super cool and excited for you. So William will be preaching this coming Sunday, and so he is going to walk us through the passage that we'll be looking at that you guys as life group leaders will be guiding your group in a discussion over. So we'll be looking at Ecclesiastes chapter 8 through chapter 11, verse 8 through chapter 12, verse 8. Wow. Almost,
there's a lot of eights in there.
Yeah, I almost messed that up. So, William, you walk us through this passage of Scripture.
Sure. First, I'd like to go ahead and read it. Be reading in the ESV if that's helpful for you listening. Starting in verse 8 of chapter 11. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many, and all that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened, and the clouds return after the rain, and the day where the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the windows are dimmed. The doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to the God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. All is vanity. And so this passage is, Matt and I were talking before we started recording, just an absolutely dream passage to talk about in life groups for discussion, because it brings up so many issues that I think a lot of times we're afraid to talk about because it kind of makes us nervous. And for the past two, three months in Ecclesiastes, I hope that fear has just been dissipated, because about every week Solomon is bringing up another thing, another idolatry, a future thing that we don't like talking about. And here Solomon is very blunt with us, that we saw at the end of chapter 12, that, hey, death is coming. That death has one loss to his record, and it is an inevitability for all of us, that we are, our bodies are going to decay, that we're not going to be able to enjoy life as we did when we were young, and we're going to struggle, and then ultimately we're going to die, and mourners will go about the street, and then they'll go home, and in many ways will be forgotten. And so Solomon, again, writing Ecclesiastes at the end of his life, is really not holding back. And so he says, so listen, with this in mind, with death in mind, how can we live in a countercultural way? How can we live in this kind of self-aware wisdom where we're not going to ignore the fact of what's coming, but we're going to look it in the face and say, how can I remember God in my youth? And so we kind of see those two R words he uses in chapter 11, the first being to rejoice in your Creator in your youth, where he talks about, hey, look, what is in front of your eyes? Rejoice in the life that you have. Right, that yes, Solomon has talked a lot, there's places for lament of struggles that we have, but we know lament is lament because it ends in worship. And so Solomon is saying, hey, rejoice in the life that you have. And in verse 10, he says, remove vexation from your heart, right? Don't be looking to the left or the right. Don't be playing the comparison game. You'll never be able to rejoice in the life that God has given you and the blessings that God has given you. And then the second we see where he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because God will bring you into judgment. And so we see kind of that bit of, well, so often people say, oh, well, you know, if I'm going to die, you know, nothing really matters. You know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I die. I'm going to do whatever I want. And Solomon says, that is no way to live. That you want to build your house on the rock and not on the sand. And the rock is our Creator God. And so rejoice in him in your youth and remember him in your youth.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. As we think about in our material, there's the measures moment. And one of the marks or identifiers of a disciple is one who's a child of God. And so as we think about this idea, this picture of being a child of God as parents, we take care of every detail of our children, right? Like, you know, we pack the car up with all of the things that are needed for our children in order to be successful through the day if we're going on a trip or whatever. And if there's a detail that needs to be managed during the day at home, we're all over that. And so as parents, we do that. And as a child of God, we can trust that our Heavenly Father is going to take care of the details, right? So because He is our Creator. He's our sustainer. A friend of mine, he preached a sermon, and I can remember this years and years ago. He began the sermon by saying, basically he had a card, and he said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to just go ahead and write yes on the card. And before we ever start the sermon, I need you to go ahead and write yes on the card and just slide it over to God. Now, maybe that's not physically, but mentally between our ears. Go ahead and write yes on the card and slide it over to God. And what we're doing in essence there is we're saying, God, I'm just going to trust you to handle the details. Regardless of my circumstances, as a child of God, as I grow as a disciple, I'm going to trust you to handle the details. Regardless of my circumstances, my happenings, the triumphs, the struggles, the ups and the downs, I'm just going to trust you there. So as we think about this measure moment and encouraging our people in our groups to grow as a disciple, let's be sure to point that out. And then I'll go ahead and point out also a question. One of the questions, there's some really great questions in this lesson, but one that that sticks out for me is found on page 32, that top question on page 32. How does it influence your daily life to remember God as your Creator? And so we can think about it in this way. For a guy or an individual who rebuilds an engine, takes it apart and fixes and replaces the things that are broke and then puts it back together. For the individual who builds a house from nothing but builds it in construction. From the individual who takes the Legos and builds a Lego city, right? If there's an issue in that engine, that house, that Lego city, if there's an issue, who's going to know it? Who's going to understand it? It's the Creator. Right? The one who rebuilt that engine, who built that house, who built that Lego city, the Creator is the one who's going to understand that. So what a great opportunity as we look at this question, how does it influence your daily life to remember God as your Creator? What if as believers, we daily kept that in the front of our mind, God's my Creator. He understands. He knows His creation. He knows my circumstances, and I can walk confidently and maybe even boldly in this circumstance, even though I may not like it, but I can know my Creator is there. So,
such a good word, because Solomon, for the whole book, really like a parent, has been saying, I have done all of these pursuits, and none of them worked.
Yeah.
I tried living my life for money, for women, for power, for prestige. None of them satisfied me. And here I find myself at the end of my life, and I'm not happy. And I know not only am I not happy, but in so many ways, despite the wisdom that God gave me, I have failed as king over Israel. And so Solomon is begging us throughout the entire book to say, hey, God has designed you. He's knit you together in your mother's womb, and His design for you is best.
Yeah.
And it's hard because we think we know what's best, and we want to pursue the passions that we want. But Solomon is again reminding us, hey, listen, you can rejoice in your Creator. You can remember your Creator because at the end of the day, He's the one that is in control. That if you try to control your world in every little detail, you're just going to get angry and frustrated and vexated. But there is something so powerful in saying, you know, I can control me. My attitude and reactions to things, I am so happy, and I'm going to rejoice in the fact that God is on the throne. Yeah. And I'm going to remember Him in my youth so that I don't become like Solomon towards the end of his life saying, man, I've wasted my youth. I've wasted the prime of my life.
That's good. That's good. So, all right. William, I appreciate your walking us through the passage as we look at this coming Sunday, and the responsibility and even the privilege that we get to help our people look at God's Word and to live our lives through the lens of God's word. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So life group leaders, let me give you specifically adult life group leaders, a real quick reminder of our Replant Serve Days. We're asking, as we look at the replant at Shelby at Southside, we have a couple days where we're going to go over and try to complete a number of projects that the team there has. And so we're asking specifically our 915 and our off-campus groups to join us at Southside on June the 22nd. And then also our 8 and 1045 groups to join us on July the 13th to complete some of those projects. So if you would be sure to mention that and keep that in front of your people, and so that we can come alongside and complete those projects that need attention at Southside. So thank you very much, and we look forward to being able to come alongside them as they prepare to for August, which is a big time of year for all of us. So thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday.